Welcome, everyone, to Advisory Insights with Overman Law Firm. Host today is myself, Stuart Overman. And really, the purpose of our podcast is really from the healthcare side is we want to talk to and discuss the industry issues with leading, you know, healthcare providers today. And today, we have the enormous privilege, and I mean that with all sincerity, to speak with Mark Rutledge. Mark is the Chief Executive Officer and President of World Precision Instruments. Mark has been in the field for, I think, 20 years. And I would be remiss if I did not say congratulations to you. CEO publication, Mark was named the top 20 dynamic CEOs of 2023. And we're going to get into that a little bit more. But that, and I saw that cover. Great publication, great magazine. So I'm going to hear a little bit. I want to hear a little bit more of how you, what your criteria was. But really, Mark, honestly, you're an industry leader, and I know you for quite some time. You have a very strategic direction. You build very, very high caliber teams. You mobilize key objectives. You got utilization platforms. You have CE in your company, and really, you guys as a company continue statistically to outpace the annual growth of the life sciences market. So what I want to do is really figure out, you know, I know you guys are involved in academic issues and industry laboratories and you know, organs on a chip. I mean, fascinating information. And without further ado, Mark, I would like to say congratulations to you. And it's good to see you as always, my friend.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. It's great to see you again as well. And I'm just excited to be a part of your podcast.
Well, we're going to drill out on a couple of questions. I want to pick your brain on some issues. So you've been with Precision, I guess, about 2 years now.
That's correct.
And when you came with the company, where was Precision at, World Precision at, and where have you taken them so far?
Yeah, you know, this is a fascinating company. And what attracted me to the company was the technology and the brand, the brand the company had in the industry. And, you know, when I joined the company, they had had a period of stagnant results, high level of turnover in some leadership positions that, as you very well know, you know, that quashes performance if you've got a revolving door of attrition at the management level. So the private equity firm that tapped me on the shoulder for the opportunity really tasked us with a few things. One, the company was somewhat directionless in terms of strategic focus on technology and direction in the industry with investments in portfolio strategy, et cetera. And so the first thing we had to do year one was all about resetting the foundational elements of the business, like culture, process. For example, there was really no new product development or R&D process. So there was no surprise, not a lot of products made it over the goal line to launch. There was a lot of good ideas and concepts in the pipeline, but the company struggled over the past several years bringing those ideas over the goal line and then to the marketplace. So we really focused also year one in just getting a repeatable, consistent process around bringing technology to the marketplace. And the third was, you know, getting the right people in the right place. I was blessed to inherit a lot of good, loyal, committed folks that had been with the company for quite some time. And just ensuring they, you know, got into the right roles. And so the way I typically say it is, you know, right people in right roles and utilizing the skill sets to advance, you know, where the business is going. We also had an opportunity to build an executive team. So I also was able to bring in new executive talent that either I had worked with in the past to help drive the direction, you know, we wanted to take the company. And so at the end of year one, we had a new direction, new focus, new culture, or our DNA of who we wanted to be as an organization and how we wanted to be seen in the industry as our personality as a company. And so this year's been focused on our scientific strategy, making sure we had the right plan, the right investments in technology, and so forth. And so amidst all of that, a lot of change in the organization, but it was change that the organization embraced because I think they felt that it was change needed to take the company to the next level so that, you know, the company didn't continue with complacency and so forth. And so we're midstream on the on the vision.
That's amazing. And, you know, you've had a lot of key level leadership positions, not knowing to speak with where you're at with that now. So, you know, what drove you into the leadership role and how would you categorize like your leadership style, considering what you had to come in with, rebuild and go into, you know, 24, if you will?
Yeah. You know, I think like many interested in people leadership, I was early on in my career, I was blessed to work for a very good leader who inspired me with what good looked like in leadership, first and foremost. And then this was in my time at GE very early on in my 20s. I was tasked with, you know, leading a team early on into my tenure there, and was able to see if I, you know, had the ability to, you know, mobilize a team towards a common goal, connect with individuals, and help them become what they can be in their respective positions. And I think that's what helped me really become really passionate about people leadership. And that subsequently gave me opportunity to continue to grow as a leader.
Well, you guys have also implemented a lot of learning platforms and continuing education wise, I think I don't think it was existed when you came in.
Right. And it's, you know, I think it's learning platforms, tutorials, e-learning modules for not only product level learning, but also, you know, self-development things. I think that's super important. And this is an area that I believe sometimes goes by the wayside as we're developing talent because we're so very focused on driving the business, hitting the numbers, and so forth. We lose continuing education or continuing or refreshing learning, as I like to call it too. And so I and my leaders really try to invest time each quarter in developing people, whether that's through self-development modules and e-learnings that we've put in place, or whether it's just, you know, leadership roundtables that we like to do with new leaders to help them with some of the challenges that new leaders have. Yeah.
You talk about challenges, you know, leadership has challenges, good, bad. It's like, oh no, here we go again. Or, you know what? We got this, guys, we got this. So, you know, what would you say would be, from a leadership standpoint, what is your favorite part of the leadership side? And then, you know, oh my gosh, what are the challenges, which, you know, in this world are so many?
Yeah, no question.
That's a loaded question. I know.
No, it's a good one. And it's, you know, it's, you know, I would say, you know, the part of leadership that helps my blood pump at a high level as somebody who, you know, impacts people's careers and lives is, number one, I love building strong teams. And I've been lucky in my career to have folks that have wanted to follow me as I've moved into different roles. And so I really enjoy building strong teams. And then also with that, you know, helping individuals merge their potential with their actions. And so getting to what great looks like in their respective role and then helping them grow from there. And so I think because you can't always build new teams wherever you go, like you're inheriting talent And sometimes you're building talent. And what I love is when that blend of both comes together and delivers on objectives.
Now, in your experience of 20 years, question. So what? How do you know when talent is just not there?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Yeah, and I think it's...
And that happens in every organization.
It does. And I think, you know, this is the part to the second part of the prior question, which is, you know, the most challenging and not so fun part of the role is when you have, you know, an individual who may have, you know, the will, but not really the skill. And so there's kind of three, you know, couple of ways I look at this, Stuart. One is it's, you know, the will, skill, and ability. So if an individual has the will, meaning they're hungry, but they just don't have the skill for what's needed in the role, we'll go above and beyond and bend over backwards to find the right place for that individual where it fits their skills. Now, if they, you know, have the skill and ability, but not the will and disengage, et cetera, that's a different conversation. And that's one where maybe a different environment is better for that individual and the company itself. And so, you know, while not fun, moving that individual into something else is probably better for that individual also. But you're right. I mean, this is one of the areas where I see a lot of new leaders struggle is the difficult conversation around, you know, performance management and getting the right will, skill, and ability for a position.
That's so important. And so how would you, again, I say you've been successful at every place you've been in the industry, and how would you characterize it? And it's, you know, for me, it's a constant scorecard. How would you, you know, characterize your success as the leadership side, and how do you judge that?
Yeah. You know, I think that's, yeah.
I know, tough questions. I know.
No. And guess what? There's a lot of, you know, leadership readings and, you know, leaders out there who have different, you know, and varying opinions on this. To me, I fundamentally think the only report card to what good looks like in leadership is if that individual would follow you wherever you go, if the opportunity, that's basically the net promoter score of leadership, if you would. And so to me, that is an example. If somebody could say, I would follow him or her wherever they go because they've helped me grow, but held me accountable, right? And so that's kind of the way I frame it for my leadership team as I'm coaching in my current leadership team, or I still do a lot of career coaching for leaders that are in my network is, you know, are you, number one, are you making a difference? Are you helping them merge their potential with their actions? And would they follow you?
That's great. And so as we move into 24, right, you've got, you know, you've been through the past 2 years, how are you evaluating your leadership and what you need to do from a goals and objectives with your team into 24 and where you want to take World Precision?
Yeah. So, great question. You know, first off, for where we want to take the company, we're still, you know, and I would call it like an inning five of, you know, realizing our strategic mission. So we've got a lot of work to do commercially, scientifically, and operationally to really reach our potential as a company and as a partner to the pharmaceutical industry, the life sciences industry, et cetera. We just launched a couple of new products, which are very impactful. Launching products has been an opportunity for growth and learning for this company. And so a lot of our marketers and our sales folks and our operations are learning through that. And so we're all growing with driving uptake of a new product in the marketplace and then watching it take share and then listening and learning from the marketplace from that launch. So
you just said something so compelling. Most leaders don't listen. And you just said, listen. And that just caught my ear. I think that's one of the signs that has made you successful through the years is listen. And that's a great point you just made.
I think it's important because that's how you can connect. And I think one of the mistakes that I see a lot of leaders make is they just don't have the ability to connect with their people. Part of connecting is demonstrating the ability to listen and take feedback. And so we try to really, part of our cultural beliefs here is we have a feedback, you know, comfortable, you know, culture where I ask for feedback in my one-on-ones and my leaders do. And we got to be comfortable with that in the spirit of just getting better at what we do. But so, you know, just to kind of land the plane on the prior question, like we're focused on, you know, being, you know, commercially sharp in our execution into next year and continuing to launch products that are very impactful in the drug discovery marketplace. So.
And now next year, when you've conquered the world in the life sciences area, will you come back and talk to us again?
I'd love to. Yeah, absolutely. Count me in.
Mark, congratulations again on being nominated for one of the top leaders in the country for CEO. Is there anything you want to add on our you know leadership talk? And I know these are topics you could talk about for you know 6 days, but anything you want to add in closing?
But no, I think it's important that you know I'm still growing as a CEO. I'm still learning, and you know as we move into you know, next year and beyond. I don't think we're ever, no matter what your title is or what your role is or how long you've been in an industry, we're still growing and we still have to show the demonstration and the willingness to grow. And that comes from everybody in the organization, up, down, sideways, et cetera. So,
yeah. Mark, thank you so much for your time. I know you're very, very busy with your schedule and best wishes and great success for 2024.
Thanks, Stuart. I've enjoyed it and we'll be in touch.
Thank you, sir.